Unsigned 518. I'm here with Not Chinese Takeout.
Hello.
So I guess what we'll do is start here. And I always say, like, to my left, like, anybody listening gives a fuck because, like, they can't see you. But start and say your name and what you do in the band. We'll just go around the room.
Hey, I'm John Paul. I'm drummer and singer. Not Chinese Takeout. The boys.
My name is Nate. I am on lead vocals.
My name's Victor. I'm a bass player and a backup vocalist.
What's up? My name's Everett. I play rhythm guitar.
How's it going, guys? I'm Zach. Play lead guitar.
And don't worry about Calvin. Calvin is a drama queen. He will do the yelp, even if you don't touch him, even if he thinks something might cause him some discomfort.
Yeah, my dog's like that too, dude. He was a rescue. So
yeah,
like
same with
Calvin.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
He was born behind a laundromat in Alabama. And
oh,
so,
man.
Like, when people are like, what kind of dog is he? And I say an Alabama street dog, I, like, mean it.
Actually,
like, I have no idea what kind of dog he is. He was born behind a laundromat in Alabama, and we got him when he was a teeny little dude, and
super
now he's
clean.
A fucking diva. So, but, you know, we're not here to talk about Calvin. Everybody knows Calvin. We're here to talk about Not Chinese Takeout. And I guess what we'll do is, I don't know who wants to take the lead, but we'll, you know, just kind of start telling the story of Not Chinese Takeout, and we'll go from there.
Cool. It's not that long of a story, but it's kind of funny of a story, you know? After, you know, a while of just kind of focusing on other activities, me and John Paul here, we were working on music in the garage studio that me and one of my friends built. And we, like, made a song, and we really messed with it. I'll keep my... Are we explicit on this?
Yeah. No, you can
cool.
say whatever you want. I've already said fuck, like, 3 times.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'm just too much in my head, you know?
Yeah.
But the song was fucking dope, you know? We thought it was cool. And I was like, fuck. You know, I'm a big... You know, alternative rock fan. We all are here in the band. I love Midwest emo, which is, you know, indie. There's a whole, you know, the whole meme about Midwest emo.
Of
like,
course.
It's really this, but, you know. Yeah, and I was like, yo, what kind of name kind of suits a sound like that? At the time, we didn't know what we wanted to do going forward. We just knew the song was pretty sick. So I was like, yo, like, Chinese Takeout. And, you know, me and John Paul have known each other for, like, you know, over 10 years. So we have, like, certain, you know, vocal patterns and jokes that you have with all your, you know, your homies and stuff. And he was just like, nah.
Not Chinese Takeout.
And I was like, hell fucking yeah.
Like, that's the one.
That's it, dude.
That's it.
Yeah, that was it. That's how it came together.
And I love, you know, and for me it's the little things, but, like, using the Chinese Takeout, what do they call them, emoticon or emoji or whatever,
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
in the text,
yeah,
it was like brilliant. I'm like,
thank
it's
you.
Fucking brilliant.
Like, super, super, exactly, real small, nothing. They, yeah. they had a takeout emoji, and I was like, we're going to use this.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like,
thank
little
you.
Things like that. It's branding.
Appreciate it,
buddy. Yeah. So what year are we talking, like, when the dope song was happening and everything
so this
started
was,
to come together?
This was 3 years ago. Okay. We started really messing around in the garage. And then we started refining, and sending stuff out to producers. And then we ended up making a trip, finding a band, start making this thing a little more professional, start putting it out.
So when you two started it, and then how did everybody else kind of roll into the lineup to finalize shit?
I'm going to give the mic to Everett real quick. He'll tell you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so... at least how I got into the band was, I don't know, I used to do music, like, several years before I joined Not Chinese Takeout. I did, like, a metal band when I was in high school, and then I took, like, a couple year hiatus from music, but, you know, I was getting the itch to get back out there, and, you know, for some reason, I'm kind of, like, hesitant to use Facebook, so I didn't really want to, like, use Marketplace, and I remember, like, Craigslist being the spot to, like, go for, like, music stuff. Like, I used to buy, like, equipment on Craigslist all the time, so I was like, oh, screw it, I'll see if anyone's, like, you know, looking for people to jam with on there. There's a section for, you know, looking for musicians. So I just made a post and I was like, hey, you know, if anyone wants to jam, you know, hit me up, you know, these are some bands I like. And I was like, oh, I like, you know, like Hail the Sun and Movements and stuff like that. And
me scrolling through Craigslist immediately hopped on that. I was like, that's the perfect vibe.
I didn't even know fucking Craigslist still existed.
Like, oh, somehow two for two with these guys.
And I remember, because like, I remember like 20 years ago, like that was how it, you know, bands got together. Like you would just put out a fucking hook in Craigslist, be like, hey, just like you said, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I play, whatever. But like, I honestly did not think that Craigslist still existed. That's wild.
Honestly, it shouldn't. They were like the only normal people I met. Matt got some weird text, but I had the same type of ad on Craigslist. I'd say, oh, I got a place out in the woods. No one could hear us. I just get that text.
And this is Zach, by the way.
Yeah. But I posted same type of thing. I said, looking for a band that wants to make captivative music that could reach a wide audience. It was up for 2 months, and I get a text from JP, and I was like, yeah, they sounded pretty cool. I sat down, tried learning, I think it was Doesn't Matter, and that was that.
I was in high school playing in the jazz band on electric bass. When I graduated, my friend who played rhythm guitar with me in jazz band texted me randomly one day over the summer, and he goes, hey, my cousin is looking for a bass player for his band. Here's some of their songs. They're called Not Chinese Takeout. Why don't you hit them up? Here's his Instagram. So I text Nate on Instagram, and then I pull up to JP's house just to, you know, check out the music, see how the vibe goes, and Nate opens the door, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is the guy's dad. He's going to he's gonna come introduce me to, you know, the band, and then I'm going to jam with probably this dude's son because, you know, I'm 19, he's 28, JP's 29.
And this is Victor, by the way, if y'all didn't know.
Yeah, I walk in, and then we go upstairs, and I see him get on the mic. I'm like, oh, shit, so this is how this is going to go. All right, and we sat down and played. I think it was Chop and Fade was the first song I ever learned. Everett taught me chord by chord, walked me through that, and then here we are.
He listened to all the songs on the way to his first practice. Like, he listened to the songs on his way there. I remember him saying, and then he did a great job. Dude's an absolutely phenomenal fucking player. Everybody in this band is.
So, you know, you had at least the one song or a couple songs together, and then when did... Now that you have the full lineup, I think when did it start solidifying where you're like going to start recording things and going out and gigging? Like, I guess what was the next step once you were like, all right, everybody's on board?
Me and JP made like a handful or two of songs before we got these guys. And I guess, yeah, we started 3 years ago, and then we went and actually recorded for the first time two summers ago. We went out to the Bay Area. We drove all the way there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We stopped in Colorado
first.
And
by the Bay Area, you mean Southern Lake George, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right by the good old 518.
By the Log Jam restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right on the boardwalk. Yeah. You know,
so you drove across the actual whole entire country.
Yeah. We did stop in Colorado, though. One of my friends, I lived in California for a number of years, and one of my friends, so one of our favorite bands, at least me and John Paul, is the story so far. And they were playing a gig at Ohio, or what was it? Denver's for Lovers, Colorado's for Lovers Festival, right. Hawthorne Heights, their festival. And my friend, she was like, yo, like, let's go to this. And I sent the flyer to John Paul, and I was like, dude, do we? He was like, yes. And we drove to Colorado. I was at work, getting out of work at the time, and I had sent a message to a producer out in California. His name is Sam Pura. He's the absolute man. We love him to death. You know, and we were talking about modern age of music and stuff, Andy, and that's the beauty of modern day stuff, because I sent him a DM on Instagram, bro.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, and he responded, and I think I called John Paul, and I was like, dude, like, this dude said, like, yo, we could pull up to the studio, do we? And he was like, yes. And I was like, fuck yeah. So we stopped in Colorado, did the whole thing, great show, kept on going another 20 hours, and ended up in Northern California, recorded the first EP. And then, yeah, like they said, when we found him on Craigslist, that was the summer after that.
Oh, wow.
And then,
yeah, more recently we've been, we took a trip out to Boston as a band. We recorded two tracks out there, and we're just building for hopeful album way in the future as the crew, the guys.
Yep.
And, you know, I always say, like, on this show, you know, it's not a professional thing, so like I'll say things that break the fourth wall, so to speak. Cool. But you know, coming in soon, my buddy from the band Eerie And you were saying something about you had a show with that, you know, so you're putting shows together and playing locally. Like, what are some of the more memorable shows that you've had? Like,
Single Cut with Corey up there.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Dude, so Single Cut's my fucking favorite play, and it's in print. Like I said, Single Cut's my favorite play since...
That was our first show, dude. Back in September. Yeah, I know you asked a couple questions, and I was trying to answer them in order, but we started gigging back in September was our first gig. Corey from Single Cut. Corey Dempsey is the man.
Yeah.
I've been going to Single Cut for a while. It's right by my house, so I was going there for a minute. And... I guess how it started was I walked into Single Cut again to get a beer after like a year not being there. I saw a stage in there, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I started talking to like one of the bartenders. I was like, dude, like, that's funny. I was just talking to Corey last time I saw him about how, you know, we want to play with his band, Sad Dad. Shout out Sad Dads. Sad Dads.
Great band.
Yeah, sick. They're awesome. And so I left my number with the bartender. Corey just called me. He's like, dude, like, I saw your stuff. I know you. I would love to have you guys in. Are you good next week? We had been together as a band, a full band, for like 3 weeks because we got Victor in August. And I was like, I texted the group. I was like, yo, are we ready next week? And Everett was like, yeah, I think we're ready to go. And we played a Single Cut. It was awesome. Full room. Just seeing all our loved ones there and like even people we didn't know. It was just super cool.
Yeah, Single Cut's a great play. Not only like what they're doing, like for but like how they're trying to build the music. You know, because we've played there. I've played there with my band probably 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, we'll be back there in May too. May 31st, we'll be back.
Oh, I'll be back there May 17th.
Look at that
for my 52nd birthday.
We'll be there too.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, Single Cut is fucking dope. Yeah. But how they're like with the building of the stage, like with the like hyping it up, like it's becoming a really cool place to see a show.
It's a spot.
It was like the hidden gem, and now it's like the not so hidden gem.
Yeah.
So we were talking about maybe playing a song, and I know you also brought some gear along. So we're gonna go old school punk rock and just do a song live here in the Dazzle Den. But first, we're gonna do something off. A recording, right? Like a studio recording. What are we going to play?
That'll be off our first EP. Doesn't matter. It's more of a pop-punky leaning song. We have a couple genres that we lean to. We call it blendcore, but this one's more pop-punky.
Cool. And it's called Doesn't Matter?
Doesn't Matter.
All right. Well, let's check out Doesn't Matter, Not Chinese Takeout, and we'll be right back. In the days during our last excursion, I could tell something there had been hurting, but I never thought that something. But there still wasn't anything working. You shut out all the good I did for you. But it doesn't matter to me. Just like all these promises that I can't keep. So you knew. Close calls. We took what we chose.
just like all those promises that I won't touch.
All right, that was Doesn't Matter, Not Chinese Takeout. And that one you said is on the first EP, which is obviously out and available now. But I guess what's coming down the turnpike for Not Chinese Takeout?
Yeah, Doesn't Matter, like you said, I was on our first EP, which actually the anniversary of is in a couple weeks, April 1st.
Nice.
Time flies.
Yeah, dude. Can't believe it's been almost a year already since we put it out. We also put out our most recent song, Say So, last month. Our follow-up EP back in October called Better in September. It has some of our favorite songs on there. And coming up this month on the 30th of March is a new song called Say So. It might be past when everyone hears this, whatever, but... We got a song called...
But it is being released in March.
Yeah, it's called Slush.
Remind me, and maybe I'll edit this out, but did you submit it to Metroland for the hot singles?
We didn't know that was a thing, no.
It's a thing.
Okay,
so
cool.
We'll talk when we're done. Keep that in mind. Yeah. Don't leave it out.
I think I said
Say So
twice.
Don't let me forget, because I forget shit all the time.
Yeah. New song called Slush coming out this month on the 30th.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then we got a bunch of new music coming out all summer, literally from... Now when y'all are hearing this, all the way into August, we'll have stuff, and then we're working on an album.
We got the first songs that Victor and I recorded with them, 10 Stabs and Vacant Attempts. It's the first riffs that we wrote for them. Yeah, it was a really fun experience going down with them to Boston. First time in a recording studio. Had fun tracking.
Yeah, and for stuff coming up, our boy Corey in Sad Dads, he's talking about maybe doing like a throwback album show over Halloween. So we're pretty excited about that one. We were all talking amongst ourselves about, you know, what kind of throwback albums we want to do. I don't know. I think me personally, I could definitely go for some Silverstein. It's there's an album that we already cover one song from, Smile. So I love that album a lot. It's definitely a little emo, a little heavy for our taste, but... You know, that's kind of my somewhat like I definitely grew up in a lot of like Silverstein and that emo post hardcore stuff.
After hearing Nate's gutturals, I wanted to do Scourge of Iron by Cannibal Corpse. Slowly gotta convince him into it.
Just whenever, yo, it's so funny. Just whenever it's like too heavy for our taste, Zach's like, I can do you one better.
So, oh wait, you wanted to? You're blocking the way, Nate.
Did you want to say anything? No.
All right, cool. So with those, you know, you were saying the throwback album show, like, and I was saying, you know, before we were recording, how we're playing a show where we're going as another band. And like, I think that is such a, not only a cool way for like a local band to meet people, but to get more fans. Cause like you were saying, you know, that album or an album or a band that is important to the sound of the band, if you pay homage to that one night, it kind of lets people know where you stand. And
yeah,
I think,
and if
it
you have
more fans,
the way we recruited these guys, they have such different string playing bass lines from when they came from a metal leaning, right, a punk leaning, and then a more of a Midwest leaning bassist. So if we can expand our horizons that way, playing some covers, we don't mind that either.
Right. And I mean, that almost even brings up like another thing altogether is like covers. Like, I think throwing covers in is a great thing to do, not only with like a newer band, but like always. You know what I mean? Because you're always going to be playing for someone new. And if you're playing a cover song and it fits in with your sound and it makes sense with your audience and it'll bring someone else in, then they'll start listening to your music. And
you know. Yeah, a big one for us is Covet by Basement.
Gets the crowd going every time.
Right. Yeah, there's always going to be covers that like get people fucking hyped up.
It's great because you grab their attention and then they're going to listen to the next song.
Right. And they're going to know a little bit more about you and about your style by what you choose to cover, you know? Like, no, I've always, you know, I always flip flop on the cover, but I think I'm really on board with them. I think they're an important part of
just sprinkle
of
a few in here and there.
Yeah. Or at least be able to sprinkle a few in, you know.
Great, like, for encores too.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Great. Yesterday we had two encores. You know, we picked our two best covers. It's great. We had a crowd surfer. Little mosh pit opened up.
Sweet. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever had a crowd surfer. I mean,
personally, I love a good cover as a big Midwest emo fan. A few weeks ago, we covered Cinco de Mayo Shit Show by Marietta. And as a big Midwest emo fan, I absolutely loved that one. We had a great time playing it. So it also allows us as a band to have a lot of fun playing shit that we really like to listen to begin with. Right. And then once you can bring that on stage, it's a whole different feeling.
Totally.
Another thing with covers, too, you know, you learn something new when you're playing it. Like, for me, like, that was completely different than anything I played. New tuning, different fingerings, but all in all, makes you a better musician.
Totally. So, you know, we're almost out of time here, but you brought along your gear, and we're gonna do an old-fashioned, I guess we'd call it like punk style, garage rock style. We're gonna set up and go full volume, full bore, full not Chinese takeouts, and we'll see what we can make happen. And I'll even video it so that I can put it up on the social so that people can check it out. But what's the song that you're gonna do live here?
This one's called Say So. It's our latest release. Available everywhere.
All right. Well, let's check out Say So live here in the Dazzle Den, not Chinese takeouts, and then we'll be right back to wrap it up.
We're holding the trenches, the war that I struck. It doesn't seem like worth what we're fighting against. So why in a special, it hasn't ended. We're far from the world, so it's away from the sun.
We got one. Woo!
Perfect ending. All right, that was Say So, Not Chinese Takeout, live here in the Dazzle Den. And go over to Instagram or maybe even on my YouTube page if I get it over there. But I did video that, so that'll be pretty cool. So I just want to thank you guys for taking time out of your day for coming up here and doing this with me. And before we go, I just want to give you a chance to say what I refer to as your gratitude. So we'll start right here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Andy, for having us here. It's been great. I want to thank a couple of our producers. I'll thank Connor Hansen, Sam Pura, Alex Allenson. They've been bringing some great stuff out of us. Go check it out anywhere music is.
I also would like to thank you, Andy. Thank you very much, sir. It's been a total honor for us. I've listened to you for a minute and been keeping up with you. Do want to thank Mr. Sam Pura as well, Mr. Connor Hansen, Mr. Alex Allenson. And then cannot forget our absolute homie, Mr. Greg Thomas Peace. He's in a band called Flycatcher. They're super dope. Check them out. Want to thank all my friends and family who support us, come to our shows, everyone who listens, and all that jazz.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my dad. You know, he's the one who taught me to play guitar pretty much everything music-wise. You know, I could thank him for showing me things, different techniques. Great guy.
Andy, thanks for having us out. Really appreciate it. I just really want to say thank you to these guys right here in the room with me. Some of the best like friends I've made, honestly. And, it's hard to find, you know, real friends like that, and especially great musicians as well. So, you know, I told these guys actually that yesterday we played a show last night. I told them it was going to be my last show with them, but, you know, these guys are so great. They told me, you know, the door's always open, you know, for me to come back, and who knows, I'm thinking, you know, about like that Halloween show we talked about. Maybe they can, maybe they'll get me back to come back up to Albany, because I moved a couple hours away. So
gotcha.
It's just kind of hard to continue the long distance thing. So, you know, big shout out to these guys for sticking with me even through the long distance relationship.
Forgot to say thank you, Andy. Can't forget that.
I also wanted to say thanks to Andy for having us on the show today. I also wanted to thank my family for being supportive of all this through, you know, college and work, you know, allowing me to have this that I also throw a lot of my time into and really enjoy. I want to say thank you to these guys in the room right here with me, much like Everett said, for always being supportive, you know, bringing out the musician in me. I also wanted to say thank you to Mr. Paul Barillo and Sarah Waite from Christian Brothers Academy for convincing me to play the bass, because I wasn't going to, but then I became their jazz bass player. And I also wanted to say thanks to all my boys and girls, all the homies who come out to the shows, you know, give us support, jump in the pit when they can, you know. Just come out and have a good time. Give us some energy.
Dude, Sarah Waite, bro. She was my music teacher, dude.
She's the best.
Dude, I'm 10 years older than you, bro. That's crazy.
Still as crazy as ever.
All right. So they are Not Chinese Takeouts. I am Andy Scullin. This is Unsigned 518. I'll see you on the road. Unsigned 518 is produced and hosted by me, Andy Scullin. New episodes are available every week wherever you stream podcasts. If you'd like to help support the show, please like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Or you could buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/unsigned518. If you would like to advertise on the show, send me an email at unsigned518@gmail.com. And to be a guest on the show, reach out to me through Instagram at unsigned518. Take care of one another, and I'll see you next week.